This is Michelada Monday, and it's not a real Michelada if it's not made with Modelo. Modelo Especial, brewed with the highest quality ingredients for a taste that's pure gold.
I write them down as I think of them, and I've got a whole list. It's a crib sheet. And that way I can just go to them and figure out which one applies best whenever a situation presents itself.
Yeah, I really struggle without the football analogies.
Yeah. Well, you've detailed it. You know, I mean, you would have not earned your degree had it not been for the football analogies from those tutors.
I'm too stupid.
No.
Your art, your writing, your culture is the shell of another man's ambitions.
Gong it out, Big Petro, some money, AM570, LA Sports Live, everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. It's a Flex Alert. This is our second hour. We came on at 2. We're off at 5. We're your home of NFL football. Monday Night Football tonight, a big one.
Hey,
you like NFL football? We got something for you. Titans versus Bills, two first-place teams, Josh Allen, Tannehill, Derrick Henry on pace to rush for 2,180 yards, breaking Eric Dickerson's record.
Big, strong man that don't choke when you put him in the eighth inning. And you know what, Cates? I want to ask you a question real quick about the Dodgers.
Yeah,
you know,
Cates.
You could call this my word of the day.
Oh, okay, hold on.
Because I got a bone to pick with you, apologist. If it's just because
he heard me with his words.
The word of the day.
Hey, we'll say it's brought to you by Chevrolet.
All right.
If Julio Urias doesn't have it, if his curveball doesn't work, if he's not going to go out there and do anything, isn't it up to the manager and the pitching coach to kind of know that?
Well, like, it's also up to Julio to say, hey, you know what, I don't got it tonight. I don't feel right going into this game.
They're never going to say that.
Yeah, they're never going to say that. But it's a double-edged sword because you put him out there hoping he's going to get the two lefties out there, but it turns around and stabs you because he doesn't, and he gives up two runs, and you're tied 4-4. On paper, it was the right move to do in the moment. Two lefties, top of the lineup.
Throw a bullpen freaking game, and game five it is.
Who's Steve Brule?
Justin Brule, the other left-hander they have on the roster.
Are you sure it's not Steve Brule?
Copy that. It is Justin Brule.
Copy that.
And
Justin Brule, bruh. Did Vessi already pitch?
Vessi already pitched.
Some bitch.
I believe, yeah. Yeah.
Not check it out with Dr. Steve Brule? You guys have never seen Check It Out with Dr. Steve Brule?
No.
Matt?
No.
You guys have...
Sorry. I haven't.
Sorry we're not hip like you on shows that were out 10 years ago.
It is.
Check it out with Steve Brule.
Check It Out with Steve Brule is that guy from Walk Hard, Dewey Cox.
Yeah,
John C. Riley.
John C. Riley, the actor. He is Steve Brule. And he's like a clueless, like,
local news.
Check
absolutely.
It out.
Absolutely.
He doesn't really know how the camera works and stuff like that.
Yes, love it.
Because I've never seen any. I've seen Bickford. But I don't know about Steve Brule. I didn't know that he was on the roster.
Justin Brule came up with the team during the middle of the year, was up and down, like most relievers were. He's 24 years old. He was the other left-hander they had in the bullpen last night.
So I can understand why they wouldn't put him out there.
Well, you have Julio Urias, who needs to throw a bullpen, so he needs to throw about 20 pitches.
Yeah, it's getting a little too cute, don't you think?
It's the postseason. We've seen Clayton Kershaw close games before. Scherzer's done it before.
You got a 4-2 lead. You're going to treat this like a – you think that's a bullpen session? Hey, you're going to treat that like a bullpen session? Like, hey, this is the day you would have your bullpen session. Go out against the Braves, who are up 1-0 in what feels like a got-to-have-it game for us.
It was.
And go get three outs.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little high stress, huh? That's a little. That's no bullpen session, okay? Just because he's scheduled to throw a bullpen doesn't mean you just throw him out into a freaking NLCS game in the eighth inning and assume it's the same thing.
Well, he's out
there. High stress.
It's the amount of pitches you throw. So it's
no, it's not. Bullpen session ain't like a game. You know that, Cates.
It is like a game.
No, it's not. You got more adrenaline. There's more on the line. Your brain's thinking, man.
Julio had no adrenaline the first three batters, and all of a sudden it's a tie game, and then he started getting Jock Peterson out after that, and he got out of the inning.
Well, there you go. Then you just answered your own question. Then he was treating it like a bullpen session. You tell Julio, hey, man, this ain't nothing but a bullpen session, bro. Go out there and just let it fly.
Yeah, what
and then
kind
he
did, of?
And next thing you know, they're ripping his boots off.
I think you're overthinking this now, Matt.
Not at all.
Yes, you are, because you're thinking about what he's thinking and what he should have been thinking.
Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking about what he was thinking because the Dodgers told him that's what he was supposed to be thinking.
The one thing we can agree on. The one thing we agree on is stop messing with the guy. You've done that for four years.
Start games.
He's either a starter, a reliever, a bullpen, long relief, your closer like he was in the World Series. Now he's a 20-game winner and a starter all year.
Did you just flip like a Musso and Frank's flashback?
No, I didn't flip.
Just
I get the
you
move,
did.
Though.
You just flipped.
No.
I just said that's where this all started, by not making him the starter in Game 5. That's
did
how this
just,
whole thing started.
Did you just flip it a flop?
I did not flip it a flop. No.
You flop it a flipped.
No.
Absolutely did.
What happened to David Price?
It's a good question.
Yeah, whatever happened to that dude?
I mean, I know what happened to Cole Hamels, but I don't know what happened to David Price.
By the way, do you know there's a Cole Hamels jersey for sale at Dodger Stadium?
How much?
They have a used gear they sell on the suite level right by the press box. It's like bats and locker signs and stuff. There's a Cole Hamels road jersey in there. Guy never even pitched for them.
You're right.
He made $1.5 million. Tell you that.
Just to come and hurt his arm while
and just
warming
show
up
and say, nope, can't do it. $1.5 million.
And here we are arguing about this minutia. It's very frustrating for the Dodger fans. A lot of pushback with this conversation. I mean, a lot of people.
Other people want to be part of this conversation.
A lot of people want to be part of this conversation. I will say this. One negative guy said my Steve Brule joke was lame.
I agree with that guy. It's two people now.
I wrote back, you were lame.
You're lame. That's
but
good,
everybody
like
else loves Steve Brule. And Dr.
Steve
Brule.
I love Steve Brule. I love the reference. I did not know. I forgot that's what his name was. But yes,
and his
those
sweet
are
cherry wine.
Oh, God.
All right, it's time for the number of the day.
Here's my number.
Number of the day.
We love Eric Sonheimer. He does a hell of a job covering prep sports.
What did he but do about, now?
Well, about a week and a half ago, he posted his great displeasure.
Oh,
that
the
Modern Day Servite game was being moved to Saturday night at 8 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
And it was being done for TV. And how dare they disparage the innocence of high school football by forcing children to play on a Saturday night at 8 p.m.?
On TV that's going to be
TV?
Syndicated all over the country because everybody watches Modern Day like they watch North Dakota State or something?
The number of the day is 10p, and I believe you responded to his tweet because people came after him immediately. Like, go to sleep early, old man. Nobody cares. People are into it. The kids want to be on TV. I think you just replied to him with an eye roll emoji, if I remember right.
I replied to him on this one, the one about this 8 o'clock Saturday night kick.
Yes.
I replied to him about this one. I said, don't worry, Eric. The kids will just go to In-N-Out Burger and hang out till 3 in the morning an hour later than they normally do, just like we all did. But Eric, he complains. Like,
he complains about
the
everything.
TV timeouts. Yes. He hates the late kicks. He hates if they don't have a seat for him in the press box. He hates if there's not a lot of people in the stands. He hates if there are a lot of people in the stands because of COVID. He's never happy.
He made the grave mistake when so many people were pushing against his tweet. As Modern Day is number one nationally, number one in the CIF, Servite is back. This is one of the great rivalries that unfortunately was put on the back burner when Servite fell on some tough times. Bosco emerged as the Monarch's chief competition, but it is back.
Yeah.
It was a hell of a game last year, and they are number seven nationally. They are number two locally. And Eric said, I don't like that there won't be fans in the stands because it's a Saturday night. and they deserve to be on a Friday night in front of a packed house.
Yeah. The parents don't like it. The parents won't buy tickets.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's too late. It's a half hour later than they normally would kick. How
the
could they?
Is, 10, P. Because it sold out in 10 minutes.
Oh, Dios mío, Eric.
10 minutes. The Santa Ana Bowl sold out. And much like Panish, I am sure the tickets will be sold on the secondary market in triple-digit numbers. It would not surprise me at all.
My reply on this one was, but there's a lot of people that didn't buy tickets, too, because it's late.
10 minutes, it sold out. 10 minutes, a high school football game sold out at the Santa Ana Bowl.
They
went on sale this morning. It was sold out 10 minutes later.
We haven't talked about it enough, but, you know, the season is still kind of right in the middle. But the three best high school football teams in the world are Servite, Modern Day. Servite just coming up again now. Modern Day, obviously, and Bosco. And it's not even close. And it's so hard for them to even find opponents at this point.
I think it was Sierra Canyon that posted, we're looking for a weeknight opponent. But yeah, help us out here. That's how bad it's gotten. And I think it was the Rollins. What game was it? Modern Day, La Habra. And they, in the pregame conversation, they asked him, when are you going to pull the starters? And in the pregame, he's like, you know, we just want to show our appreciation to La Habra for taking this game, and we're going to play him again next year. And, you know, maybe mid-first, you know, maybe before half, I don't know. But, you know, we just want to thank La Habra for taking this game, and we really appreciate this.
That's what it's come to.
Yeah. 10 minutes, Servite, Modern Day. May it be moved back to the Big A for years to come.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, why not? It's getting to be a really hot ticket whenever these teams
getting
play each
hectic.
Other. But very upsetting to Eric, which you hate to see.
You hate to see it. Nobody's going to go.
I remember.
That's a shame.
I did a game at, I think, the Servite. It was a good game, Servite Bosco in the spring. And I was walking out, and I saw Eric. I was like, how's it going, Eric? That's terrible. It's like, what's wrong? Everybody in the fan stands over there. They weren't distanced. I was like, oh.
Talking about the game, I thought it was pretty good. Servite looks like they're maybe, you know, like they're maybe on the come.
I mean,
you
cool
know,
to see coaches' kids score a touchdown, though, right? Right. You know, that was cool to see Houston go and get out.
Right. It's kind of nice. I thought I was just gonna, you know, ask about the, you know, Fafita throwing that thing around. It's pretty cool, wasn't it?
He's a bit of a curmudgeon, but we need him. Just
yes,
like
we do.
We need the Friar, but Friar's a little less offensive.
This is the song of the day.
Ockerville River, a nice band from the fruitful musical lands of Austin, Texas, with our song of the day called Rider. Because it is, after all, and I'm a horse Modelo, Michelada Monday on the Petros and Money Show, where it takes an experienced rider to navigate the unpredictable paths of great sports talk. As we ride into Monday Night Foosball, a contest between the Buffalo Bills and Tennessee Titans, then you can listen to in its entirety right here on this very frequency coming up at 5.
Thank you, Ronnie. Brandon Staley for his weekly Petros and Money Show appointment. Chargers get worked out in Baltimore. 34-6, they lose to the Ravens. They are in their bye week. That's the bad news. Good news, they're in first place in the AFC West and 4-2 through six games.
Tied.
So we'll
they're
talk
tied
to Coach.
For first, by the way.
I'm sorry. How do you break a tie?
At the end of the season, you see how they do at the head-to-head.
Yeah, so what is that right now?
When the season's over, we'll address that.
But what is it right now?
Chargers are slightly up, like percentage
points. Yes, so they're in first place by virtue of the tiebreaker. Are they not?
Barely.
Okay. But they are.
What are we doing here, guys?
Cakes is the one who interjected.
We're really showing our ass.
And we're talking football for you, Petro, so you understand.
Oh, God, guys. I can't believe what we've done. You know, one thing we haven't said about Julio and why this could have been a problem is that he's racist.
You're racist. Brandon.
This is Petros and Buddy.
AM 570.
to Michelada Mondays on the Petros and Money Show. It's not a real Michelada if it's not made with Modelo. Modelo Especial, brewed with the highest quality ingredients for a taste that's pure gold.
Petros and Money, AM 570 LA Sports, live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. Tomorrow, Game 3 of the NLCS here on your home of the Dodgers. We are live and local with Sax and Cates in the AM stand, followed by Rogan and Rodney, and then we have a super flex from 11 to 1 p.m. And again, first pitch, 2:08 p.m., brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Morongo, good time.
Good time. All right, Matt, joining us right now on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline, coming off what was a loss that was humbling, no doubt about it, a tough road trip, and sometimes it goes down like that under the shield, you know what I mean? But this week, I am quite certain that the Chargers are going to beat that bye week and come out better and improve and find a way to get better every single day. Joining us now is our friend, Chargers coach, Brandon Staley, to talk about all of it and a sour trip to Baltimore. How long do you let a loss like that bug you, coach? How long does it stick in the craw?
Well, I think as a competitor, it's going to, you know, it's going to stay with us until we get back to work on the practice field. You know, today we came in and do what we always do, and we're trying to stay consistent with our approach. But, I mean, none of us felt good after that football game. On the plane ride home, it is a humbling feeling to go home, and I think that that's what's so special about the NFL is that yeah. You're just 1 week away from humility. So I know that our guys played extremely hard yesterday. We just didn't play well enough. And as a coach, that's okay. We can correct that. And I felt like, you know, there's a lot to learn from that game for sure because we got beat in all three phases. And I feel like you just got to give Baltimore full credit. John had that team ready to play. They had a good game plan in all three phases. And, you know, it was just one of those tough days of competition. But I love the way our team looked in the locker room, on the plane, and this morning. And we're at work, you know, as we speak, making our corrections and moving to get freshened up in this bye week.
Coach, is it, speaking of the bye, is it better or I mean, I don't know if there's a way to quantify it. Is it better or worse to have a game like that going into the bye? Is it good to have the extra week, or do you want to just try to flush that thing as quickly as possible?
You know, guys, I don't know if I have a perfect answer. I just think it is what it is. I mean, the bye week is, I mean, whether we won or lost, I feel like it's the same. You get 2 weeks before you play a game. And I feel like for us, that was a really tough, I know that was a really tough six-game stretch that we just played. It was a really, really tough stretch. And I feel like we left that locker room holding our heads up high over the way that we've competed in the first 6 weeks of the season. I told the guys that we beat four really good teams, and I feel like we lost to two really good teams. So I feel like we're battle-tested, which is a good thing. And I think, you know, I think that what yesterday was, guys, is it's also an accurate reflection of where we need to go as a team. We got to know why yesterday happened and make those corrections moving forward as a team. And there's a lot to talk about, you know, after a game like that. So I really like the way our guys came in today, take full ownership of what happened, and know that we got outplayed yesterday. We got outcoached yesterday, and here's why. And here's what we need to do moving forward. And I felt like our guys really responded well this morning.
You mentioned the six-game stretch going into the bye. You're 4-2. You're still in first place in your division, and you had one of the toughest schedules to start the season of any team. And being able to go 2-0 in your division certainly has got to be something that you feel good about going into the bye week. The one thing, just, you know, in terms of statistically, when you look at ranks, and I know you hate doing that, but just the run defense is one thing that seems to stand out. It's talked about quite a bit going into each and every game. And if that is something that concerns you at all, is it an injury thing that you're going to get some bodies back, it looks like, after the bye, and that ought to help out?
Yeah, Matt, I mean, we definitely are looking at it, and it's we're aware of it. I think that a couple things. I feel like we've played three really outstanding running teams in Dallas, Cleveland, and Baltimore, okay? When you talk about running the ball in the NFL, those three are about as real as it gets. I mean, that's just the truth of it. And then against Kansas City, you have a game plan that's engineered, you know, for the pass, all right? So that those numbers are what they are, and those are more our decision than you know, than the opposite. But I feel like, you know, we got to take a hard look at our personnel and our scheme, and I feel like I like the way we played yesterday. You're basically defending Navy when you're defending Baltimore because it's triple every play. You got to defend all 11 guys, and then they have direct runs. You know, they've got 22, 23 personnel run game, 21 personnel run game. Then you have the read element where they're activating all 11 people. And so you got to really be on it. And I felt like we took a step forward as a team yesterday. And there was a couple things. You know, there's a 22-yard scramble that's on there as a run, and a jet sweep that I take care of. You know, it was a poor play call by me. And then there's probably one other run that I'd like to have back. But other than that, guys, I mean, they have 46 consecutive games of over 100 yards. It's the most prolific running team in the NFL. I felt like we went nose to nose with them, and we held them to 320, and we were on the field for 38 minutes. So, you know, I felt like there was a lot more positive than negative yesterday from the Chargers. And in the run game, like you said, we're going to get four guys healthy after the break, which I think is going to definitely help our cause. And then we got to just take a look as coaches is what we can do better for these guys, because it's not on these guys. We got to coach better. I know I certainly need to do better for these guys and being, you know, even more exacting and from a technique or scheme standpoint. And, you know, we're at the beginning, but now we get a time to reset. And, hey, this is where we need to go for the rest of the season. So, like you said, you know, we definitely need to address it because it's there. But, again, I thought yesterday there was far more good than not. So I was proud of the way we responded because Cleveland was not good. As you guys know, Cleveland was not good, and I didn't like the way that game went. Yesterday, I felt like it was a lot better from our standpoint.
Coach Staley on his weekly call with the Petros and Money Show on AM570 LA Sports. Chargers on a bye week. They'll get it cracking again on 98.7 a week from Sunday. But right now, just kind of talking about the loss, or at least, you know, talking about overcoming adversity, right? Because that's what football's about. You think about Justin Herbert. You know, we've been watching him since he was a freshman in college, and I think he had – well, at least three head coaches in college, a bunch of different coordinators. You know, he's dealt with adversity already, losing a head coach in the NFL. Like, this is a guy who's seen a lot, you know, as a young guy. How does he respond to a rough game like that? I'm sure there was a lot out there he would have liked to have back.
Yeah, I mean, I think Justin's the ultimate competitor. And I think that the thing that I love about the guy is that, you know, he takes full ownership. It's like, you know, as a coach, you're wondering, hey, man, what can I do better for our guys? And that's how Justin is he feels like, you know, that he let all of us down yesterday. And because he takes that type of ownership and he has that type of care for his teammates, and, you know, he didn't have his best stuff, and we didn't have our best stuff yesterday. And I told him that after the ball game is, you know, we can't get behind 14-0 and then have a field position struggle where we don't do enough on special teams, and we're having this guy's having to drive 85 yards every snap, and then we're having to face a bunch of designer defenses. It's a tough road, and that's an outstanding coach group. You know, Wink Martindale and John do a great job on the defensive side of the ball. They've got a lot of good players, and that's a tough environment. And, you know, what we got to do is we got to be a more complete team around Justin Herbert, because he's certainly not one of our problems. You know, he's the one that gave us a chance in the game, and there's some things that he's going to learn from in that game for sure. And, you know, I think that, like I said, he's the ultimate competitor, and, you know, he's going to learn a lot from that game.
Coach, would love to know, because obviously you had to do it. His knee was swelling up, and Mike Williams didn't practice, you know, throughout most of the week because of that. Do you notice, you know, is there something about the level of play if you're not able to get out there? And look, Mike's a pro. He's going to be a Pro Bowler this year. He's got a chance to lead the league and maybe receiving touchdowns, yards, all that sort of stuff. But it definitely looked, and I'm sure part of it was the injury, that he was just a little bit different than we were used to seeing so far this season out there on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, there's a timing element to the game. I mean, I think that any of the guys who have, you know, like Joey would tell you, when that one week where he didn't practice all week and played in the game, you know, that is different. But, I mean, I think you trust in Mike's character, his football character, and you trust that, hey, this guy, you know, it's better to get him healthy at the game than try and get him out there on the practice field. And but I think that, you know, our issues yesterday, Matt, were a lot more – had a lot more to do with – how we were playing as a team than Mike Williams at practice. And I think that Mike would tell you that. I mean, I think that Justin would tell you that. And I think that what we got to do is we got to set the table better for Mike so that we don't put so much pressure on him to make the spectacular play, which is what we're used to seeing from him, yeah. You know, is the spectacular, both from him and Justin. I think what we got to do a better job of offensively, as my father would say, is make those routine plays. on first and second down, make the $5 pass where we don't need a $5 million pass. And I think that being more on schedule in that football game is going to help us overall. And like I said, part of that $5 pass is us playing better defense and us playing better in the kicking game. Because, you know, Mike and Justin have proven to be one of those dynamic combinations. And, you know, Keenan, and we've got plenty of weapons. I think we have to get off to a better start, and then we'll play a lot better against that team moving forward.
Last thing for me, Coach, and by no means am I putting it out there as an excuse, just an observation. We see the numbers for West Coast teams and 10 a.m. starts, and certainly the defense seemed to find its rhythm in the second quarter. You had the touchdown in the second quarter. Did it feel like there was maybe an energy? Did it feel like that at all on the sideline? There might have been an energy issue early in that game.
Well, definitely not from the trip. I mean, you know, we started every training camp practice at 9 a.m., which is, you know, noon Eastern time. So our guys are used to being up early, and, you know, it's part of our responsibility to get up and be ready to play. And I would not, you know, we're never going to talk like that around here. And, you know, I think that our guys were ready to play. They played very hard. We just didn't play well enough, Matt. And I think that's just the truth, is we didn't play well enough. And, you know, we're going to be the type of team that takes full ownership of what happened. And, you know, I'm confident in our group that we'll respond. But, you know, yesterday we just got beat by a good team, and they deserve all the credit because they earned it.
Well, that's a great way to handle it, no doubt about it. Halloween night, Chargers versus Patriots. I mean, I don't know. I mean, are they going to play at night? You know, you'd probably be able to go home and trick or treat, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
You'd get the candy in. Got to.
Yeah. I mean, and you're not going to dress up like they don't do that in the NFL, right? Like,
I don't know. Everyone's in
guys,
costume.
I'm going to be in a Star Wars costume because my kids are counting on it. So that's already been decided. Okay.
That's you should not, wear
that's
your.
Is that Ben Obi-Wan Kenobi on the sideline?
Yeah, wear your cloak. Yeah,
that was part of the. My son's, you know, collective bargaining agreement for Halloween. So,
well, the way Bruce Arians wears that. The way Bruce Arians wears his headset thing, you know, he looks kind of like a stormtrooper already. You know, you kind of put, you know, you could make that kind of part of it. There's a lot to think about, Coach. We'll unpack it next week. But thank you so much for joining us, and have a great bye week. And we'll see you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
There he goes, Brandon Staley, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't think they'd go with a Star Wars theme.
No, I guess I have to now. You know.
Yeah.
You know
Lombardi,
what I'm gonna be?
Lombardi's gonna be Greedo. You know, because he sits.
I mean, I only have one character I can be. I got to be that little rat that sits on Jabba.
I'm not showing up. I'm not showing up as Jabba. Sorry, they don't pay me. My negotiations to be the Chargers in-house hype man fell through years ago. We'll be right back with a secret Texoso Rodeo Roundup on PMS.
I could see the city light. Wind was blowing, time stood still. Eagle flew out of the night.
Back to Michelada Mondays on the Petros and Money Show. It's not a real Michelada if it's not made with Modelo. Modelo Especial, brewed with the highest quality ingredients for a taste that's pure gold.
Petros and Money, AM 570 LA Sports, live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. It could be very soon, like maybe even in the next segment.
For what?
We are giving away those Dodger tickets. We got Dodger playoff tickets. We're giving them away. It could be as soon as the very next segment. All you got to do is be the correct caller, whichever caller number we ask for, and you're going to the game tomorrow, 2 o'clock first pitch. We are on 11-1 before Dodgers on deck. Tim Cates and Scam are on 6-9. Rogan and Rodney, 9-11. We are local Dodgers, Dodgers, Dodgers all day. And before, we'll say 4:15, we're giving away those Dodger tickets for Dodgers Stadium tomorrow, game 3.
And you're going to have the time of your life. And you did it all on a Modelo Michelada Monday. You changed your life with PMS by getting those Dodger tickets. You know, while we're at home, we like to relax after a long day of work and crack open a beer that's brewed with the fighting spirit. And that spirit fights through the screaming eagle of Modelo Especial. It is crisp. It is clean. It is refreshing. It refreshes your system. The eagle and the snake, Julio Urias, all of it is in your hand in a Modelo can. Modelo Especial, brewed with the highest quality ingredients for a taste that's puro del oro. Pure of the gold. Hashtag Modelo USA. Please drink responsibly. The Secret Text Also Line is brought to you by Chevrolet, Matt.
The Secret Text Also Line.
Sold out to Chevy.
Here's one that says, hey, Matt, what are you saying? That it all goes back to Game 5? I don't think Tim Gates wants to hear it.
All I'm saying is you got to go back to Game 5.
Well, I mean, I guess you've kind of exhausted your fury about it. But
you know what? I think it served its purpose, right? I think the fury served its purpose. We got the panic out of the way. Tim Cates pushed back. He's panicked about the offense. I'm not so much panicked as perturbed by management / front office decisions. Look, you know, the team goes down 0-2. Everybody's going to be a little upset.
You should send him and Cates outside to smoke weed before they stroke out.
What happened to Matt? Stroked out. Never thought he cared so much.
This one says, I'd love it if the Dodgers would go for a double every time. They should consider it, in my opinion.
Again, sometimes it pays to maybe not overthink things.
Go for a double.
Had that two-run homer off Max Scherzer yesterday.
You're saying that Jock Peterson doesn't overthink things, Matt? You don't think he has a really complex approach at the plate?
Well, you know, a lot of times when presented with – you know, alternate options to his approach at the plate. You know, he makes you wonder whether or not he thinks at all when he steps in there.
You know, it reminds me back when late-night television and comedians and stuff told real jokes, and sometimes they were kind of mean, and Conan O'Brien was doing a, like, this is what this person's gravestone is going to look like in the year 2000, you know, in the future, you know, kind of thing. And the Keanu Reeves one was, we'll miss you, dumbass. And I kind of feel that's the way Dodger fans feel about Jock, you know? We miss you, dumbass.
I think that's exact. You know what? That strikes the perfect chord. Hey, we miss you. But man.
Dumbass.
I mean, man.
And here's Keanu Reeves. What does it say? We'll miss you, dumbass.
Dumbass.
Matt's dead right again. Too many nerds upstairs. I thought you liked the nerds, Matt.
The nerds overthought it, man. You know what happened? The nerds got a little bit of success, and then they're like, it's kind of like the OC that runs, hey, here's another one for you, Petros.
Oh, please.
Ready?
Can you please make a football analogy for me? Because
like
otherwise,
that.
It is really hard for
okay.
me
here we go.
To grasp.
Perfect. I got another one for you. Here we go. It's like that OC that's got the great running game, and they're winning, and they're piling up yards, and they're
it's like
piling
trying to
up
grab
points.
An eel, you know? It's hard for me unless this you do this.
But you know that OC doesn't get any credit because it's not in the passing game, so he doesn't get called for a head coaching interview, so he's like, you know what? I got to throw it around. And it's like, why you got to throw it around? Just
I get it. Now I get it. You got to be
that's
fancy.
Yeah, it's a problem with
see,
these
nerds.
See,
this text says that. Roberts thinks he out-Kaplered Kapler and got a little too much lead in his pencil.
There you go.
And you hate to see it. That's exactly what you just said.
There you go.
How do you not buy the Hamels jersey, Cates? WTH. It's like having a Piazza Marlins jersey. Come on. You're right.
That would certainly qualify as the most obscure Dodger jersey.
It'd be pretty good.
Ever. It's almost, you know, we are... You know what? We are not. You are anti-jersey. I love it. I love when the fans wear
it. I know you do.
It gets me going. I really, really appreciate that. But that would be a jersey that we would wear. The Cole Hamels Dodger jersey.
Let's get him.
I'm all for a guy who just takes $1.5 million from a billionaire to show up and go, ow, can't do it. Okay.
Thanks for trying.
Here's your money.
We'll be back with a whole other hour of the Petros and Money Show. We got the fun fact. We got your quick hits. We got some more stories. Dead and Alive guy all the way to Monday Night Football. Everything's going to be fine. And then we'll be back on tomorrow at 11.
Si yo fuera Maradona, siempre me equivocaría. Si yo fuera Maradona, perdido cualquier lugar.